So this morning we're in John chapter 20, and as you can probably tell, if you don't or instinctively know by some of the songs we've been singing, it's about the resurrection, okay? This passage is normally saved for Easter Day, saved along with all the Easter hymns, but it's a shame really, I think, because it's a story that changes all other stories. Up from the grave he arose. I knew that Dave would know the line. All right. Yeah, that's enough now, Dave. what power there is. What power there is in those words. What power there is in those hymns. What power there is in these gospel accounts that up from the grave he arose. He is not dead. He is alive. And so let's read this chapter. It's a long reading, but it's the guaranteed only inspired thing we're going to read this morning. So John chapter 20, it says this: early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So he came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at their head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned round and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again. Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This passage is the game changer of all game changing events. It changes absolutely everything. It's got to change everything. There are some verses in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, that say this: "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. For if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then those who have also fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If there was no resurrection, Jesus is just another good dead guy. If there's no resurrection, he's just a dead guy. He might have been a good man, but he's just dead. It means that we are still in our sins. I am a liar. And we are all, frankly, losers without hope if there's no resurrection. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you rose. For we have the truth. Our sins are forgiven and we are saved to be messengers of hope. Can I encourage you perhaps a little bit today? The silence in the room is perhaps probably a little bit kind of just British middle class reserve. But yet, here's the danger. Sometimes our silence might be seen as doubt or perhaps even disagreement. And there may be somebody here that is not really sure whether this happened or not. Not sure that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, of course, I tell them that he did and I tell you that he did. But you all expect me to say that. You expect me to say that. And maybe for somebody, what they really need to know is that you believe it too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Emily. That they look at you and think, you're a little bit, you're more like them, perhaps, than what they see as me, who stands here and talks this every week. So what they need to perhaps see is that you, who are like them, believe it too. And so can I encourage you to respond a little, if you would. It's also the best and most wonderful news in the world, isn't it? It is, isn't it? I mean, the news at the moment on the TV is shocking, isn't it? It's kind of, you watch the news for 10 minutes and you just want to cry. It's just awful. But yet here is the best and most wonderful news in the world ever. And so I think that spontaneous smile is surely going to break out, isn't it? If you believe this to be true, that the Saviour of the world died and rose again for you so as to save you, you're going to crack a smile, aren't you? You might even say an amen or even perhaps a hallelujah, because this is the best news that there ever is and you know it to be true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What have I started? No, I'm joking. So if you believe the resurrection to be true, I don't think anyone can sit there stony-faced, can they? Because it changes everything. Don't worry, I don't put on a fixed grin, or I'm not after that. But it changes things, doesn't it? It affects our emotions, because it's like Jesus died and rose again. It changes everything. We were praying before the service, just reading through some of this account, realizing just how scared and full of anxiety that they were at the tomb. This body's been stolen. This is the worst event it could ever have happened. And then Jesus appears. Rabboni. In that moment, she goes from fear and anxiety and crippling sorrow and grief to great peace and joy. It changes everything. We can't sit stony-faced with faith and belief in the news that the Messiah is risen from the dead. Because the death has been defeated, sins are forgiven, we are free in Jesus. So let me encourage you to smile at least a little. Maybe a bit vocal, because somebody may go, do you know what? They believe this. Amen. Jesus Christ rose again. Our Saviour is alive. Come on, that's amazing, isn't it? That is amazing. I spoke just a few months ago, Easter time, about the race to the tomb, the gentleness of Jesus in the garden, his compassion and gracious presence with Mary. But yet we also read this account of Thomas, one of the 12, one of the disciples, one of his friends. Only he wasn't there when Jesus had earlier appeared. He'd missed out on that event, something that everybody else felt, had seen, everybody else got a sight of, everybody else had that moment, and yet he had missed out. He'd missed out. When I used to do a lot of youth work, I used to love to create shared experiences, things that they could do as a group, things that then they could talk about, things they could reminisce over. It somehow bound them together in their experience. But invariably, there would always be one who couldn't make it, couldn't do it, and so missed out. And so at times then, when the group was sharing the experience of what it was, something that had made them laugh, they would kind of sit there with a fake smile on their face, wanting to join in, desperately wanting to join in, but unable, because it wasn't something that they had experienced. It wasn't something that they had seen. It wasn't something that they were a part of. And so here I think it's the same with Thomas, unable to get excited about the risen Jesus because he hadn't seen him. He wasn't there. You can imagine, Thomas, I get that you're excited about this because you saw it, but I didn't. So I want to be as excited as you, but I can't because I haven't seen it. I haven't experienced this. And maybe you feel like that today. Maybe you feel like that today. You've seen the evident joy in others, but you haven't experienced what they have. You haven't experienced what they have. It looks nice. You think there's something attractive about it. You pick up on their joy and their excitement and their confidence that they feel in knowing that their Savior is risen. There's something about it that appeals to you, but you haven't seen it. And so therefore you can't enter in the same way. You have no real reason to feel what they do, and so you're struggling because you're like Thomas. You kind of get it. You kind of want to see all of it, but you just haven't. You're like Thomas. And I think that's the reason why we've got this story recorded here, so as to help us, to help you. In verse 31, we read that these things are written so as we might believe. The account of Thomas, who wasn't there, who hadn't seen, who hadn't experienced the doubt and the question, but then he's seeing and experiencing and the joy, that is written down for you. If you feel like Thomas, wanting to believe it, wanting to be excited, but struggling because you haven't seen what others have seen, you still have your doubts and your questions. Well, this account is written so that you may believe. This account is written and recorded so as to help you in that doubt, so as to help you see what you have unseen. For doubts are normal. Doubts are normal. Questions are normal. Because this event is the most monumental, world-changing event, but it also sounds completely Star Trek, doesn't it? What? You mean to tell me that a man dies a brutal death, that Jilla helped us so wonderfully think about a couple of weeks ago, and then comes back to life. You are absolutely allowed to say, I'm not sure about that. You are absolutely allowed to say, I don't know if I can believe that's true, because I haven't seen and I haven't experienced. Again, my encouragement to everyone else that does believe that is to let it show. Is to let it show. Speak it. Give voice to it. Give action to it. Because something so powerful, but yet so hard to believe, has taken a hold of you in the way that you cannot unsee it. So let it show. This is life-changing, and we get to be messengers of its truth and of its power. Thomas says, unless I see it, I won't believe. Unless I touch it, I won't believe. You notice in the end that he didn't touch. He didn't need to touch. He was so convinced in that moment that unless I put my hand where the nails were, unless I put my hand into his side, then I will not believe. He didn't put his finger where the nails had been. He didn't put his hand in the side, but yet he believed. He was just convinced. He was just convinced. So what's the message? What's the message? If this is written down that we may go from doubters to believers, what's the message? Well, put yourself in a place to see and then let the Lord convince you. Let the Lord convince you. Because Thomas was sure, this has got to happen in order for me to believe. Well, it didn't happen and he believed because the Lord convinced him. And so maybe in your head you go, I need to see this in order to give Jesus my all. Well, maybe you don't. Let the Lord convince you. Put yourself in the place for the Lord to show you. Your doubts will be answered, but maybe not in the way that you think. It's like one of those funny optical illusions where there are two images in one picture. Have you seen those? It's kind of, do you see a rabbit or a lady with a hat on? Or, you know, that sort of stuff. And you kind of, you instinctively, you always see one first, and then you kind of squint or turn it around. Oh, yeah, of course. It's like, and then you can't unsee it. It's there. It's there. It's kind of, it's right in front of you, but you just haven't seen it. You are convinced then of a whole new reality all in one moment. Put yourself in a place to see the power and the truth of a risen Savior, and then you will see. Allow the Lord to show you. Allow the Lord to convince you. Thomas then bows down before Jesus and proclaims, my Lord and my God. He goes in a very short space of time from, I don't believe it. Unless I do this and this, I'm never going to believe it, to, I'm convinced. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. It's why we sing, isn't it? It's why we sing. It's why we have joy in our hearts, because it's why we pray. It's why we raise our hands. For what we couldn't see, we now see, and it's staring us in the face, and it's glorious. I didn't see it, but now I do, and it's changed everything. Extraordinary, out of this world, life-changing, but totally true. Totally true. And my life changing. This event, Jesus rising from the dead, has changed the world, and it has changed me, and I know it has changed many of you. Because the Lord convinced you of his truth. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. So what does this look like for us? Well, Psalm 3. I call out to the Lord, and he answers. I call out to the Lord, and he answers. Romans 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, if you feel like Thomas, near enough to the action, because you think this might be true, come into church because you like the people and it kind of, you like what's going on, and it kind of feels like, yeah, that I think there's something in this, but I'm just not sure. I haven't quite seen it all. I don't know if I'm all in with this. I call out to the Lord and he answers. I call on the name of the Lord and he saves me. So if you feel like Thomas, near enough to the action but not sure, not sure if it's true but you're wanting it to be, confused because you've got questions and doubts, there are so many things that you're not yet sure about, then call on the name of the Lord and let him show you. Call on the name of the Lord and let him show you. Alice Cooper is kind of, was he in the 70s? Kind of the old rocker. He's a Christian, gave his life to the Lord, and he talks about the most rock and roll thing he's ever done in his life is put his faith in Jesus. Put his hope in the risen King. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. If you're not sure, call on the name of the Lord. If you've got doubts and questions, call on the name of the Lord, because he answers. He answers. Everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Everyone. He will save. Despite our doubts and our questions and our lack of knowledge and our insecurity and our questions and our wonders and our frailties, call on the name of the Lord and he answers. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Let him show you. Jesus didn't say to Thomas, I'm not saving you, you doubter. No. No. Thomas's response, my Lord and my God. Verse 29 tells us that we, get this, we are even more blessed than Thomas. I mean, how cool would it have been that day to have been in that room and seen Jesus physically standing there? I mean, it would have been kind of extraordinary, mind-blowing. Wouldn't it have been awesome? But yet, Jesus says that we are even more blessed than Thomas. Sometimes we think how wonderful it would have been to have been there when Jesus physically walked the earth. And yes, it would have been. Absolutely. Off the charts. Amazing. But in wishing for that, we miss out on the sheer wonder that Jesus has promised us in blessing for what we have now. If we think, wouldn't it have been amazing to have been there? Well, it's up there in terms of the joy and the blessing that God has given us for having believed without seeing. So don't think, oh yeah, but Thomas still saw it. Well, we can have faith without seeing, for that's why this was written down. And Jesus says that we are even more blessed. That's worth a hallelujah, isn't it? We are even more blessed. You are. Did you feel like that when you woke up this morning? Kind of roll out of bed. It's like, really, have I got to get up? Have I got to get up? It's dark, it's cold, it's leaves everywhere, it's damp. You are more blessed than even Thomas and the disciples. Even more blessed. Do you feel like that? Do you know that? It's going to make us crack a smile at least, isn't it? Blessing in belief without seeing is better by far. That's not me saying that as some kind of motivational kind of phrase. That's what Jesus tells us. That blessing in belief without seeing is better. What we have is better. Amen. What you have is better. What's available for you is better. How? Call on the name of the Lord for the answers. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. We then get this drop in note almost. We have, what we've just read is a retelling of the most turbocharged event in the history of everything. You know, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is risen from the dead. I mean, it's just like epic. And then we get a PS. It's like, whoa, wow, all of that. PS. Verse 30. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. There is more. There's more. Much, much more. Jesus is more. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. The silence, the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. This would not be true without the resurrection. For the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is the defining moment of everything, and it gives us joy. It gives us joy. And there is more. There's more. For the blessing that you have, the blessing that I have, is better. It's better. There's more. There's more to be done. There's more to be saved. I pray this out there this morning. I totally believe it to be true. If God had finished, Christ would have returned. And we would all be in glory. But Christ has not yet finished. He's not yet finished saving and adding people to his kingdom. He's not yet finished saving and transforming lives. He's not yet finished calling people by name and transforming their life from fear and anxiety and hopelessness and despair to peace and to joy. He is not yet finished. You do not need to stay in a place of fear and anxiety and panic and weariness, for Jesus comes and he speaks your name and he brings you peace and everlasting joy. He brings you salvation and the forgiveness of your sins because of the power of the resurrection. Amen. He gives us joy, doesn't he? Because this changes everything. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to take communion, and we're going to sing. And so if you are one of God's people, if you believe in the power and the truth of this event, then sing your heart out with joy. Leave this place with the power of the resurrection upon your lips. If, like Thomas, you're not sure, well, you have put yourself in a place of being able to see. Now, as Alice Cooper did years ago, do the most rock and roll thing. Call on the name of the Lord, and he will answer, and you will be saved. Let me pray, and then I'm going to see what Andrew keeps putting a hand up for. All right. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he came for us. In love and grace and mercy, he came for us. He was obedient to death, even death on a cross. And then he rose, victorious from the grave. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for its truth. Thank you for its power. Thank you for its life-changing, world-changing significance. Father, I thank you that in your grace you've allowed us to see and partake in it today. And we are joined across the world with many, many brothers and sisters who right now and in the hours to come this day will sing joy and glory and shout the amen, the hallelujah, to the risen Saviour. But Father, yet we know that there are many, many, many still like Thomas, in doubt, in question, but I have not seen. Lord, I pray that they today would do the bravest thing and call on the name of the Lord. Pour out their sin and confession to you, and you are mighty and just and faithful in the forgiveness of sins, and you answer their cry. Lord, that they may bow before you, my Lord and my God. Lord, I thank you that your word tells us that that kickstarts a party with the angels in heaven. And so, Lord, I pray that we would join with the angels this morning in praising Jesus, our wonderful Saviour. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.